here. As we come together this morning, we're going to be talking about hope today, the one hope that we have. But Paul is talking in the letter to the Colossians, and he says that, I have a small section that I was going to read, but there's just so much good stuff around it that it becomes hard. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. You know, that mystery that has been hidden for ages and generations, he says, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. The riches of the glory of this mystery. Wealth and weight and majesty of this mystery. Well, what is the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's the goal. That's our aim. That's our desire. Let's bow before the one God. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've made. Thank you for the monsoon rains that come through and wash our city and water the earth. I do pray for your protection upon all those who may be caught out in those rains. But Lord, thank you for the gift of rain that washes us and cleanses us. But thank you even more for the gift of Jesus Christ, who washed our hearts, our souls, our spirits, and cleansed us that we might be one with you. Father God, thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I have to tell you that my mind as a pastor and as your pastor oftentimes goes in a lot of different ways, and as I prepare and as I get ready to present the word to you, I leave a lot of doors open to go where the Holy Spirit wants to lead us, and I have no idea where this is going to go this morning. But here's something that it was just something that struck me. It was a sidebar of the Sunday school lesson. And I love the way that the Sunday school lesson oftentimes does tie in to what I'm planning on doing. And now I have to find it. That's why. I was in the wrong book. That wasn't making sense at all. This isn't what the lesson was about. And it's a part that oftentimes I think we don't even speak about because it's just the introduction to the letter. So why would you pay much attention to that, you know? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior. Notice, God, our Savior. And of Christ Jesus, our hope. That was, this is just a freebie, but that was 1 Timothy 1, 1. 1 Timothy 1, 1, and I'm not staying there, so that's why I didn't give you that address, but Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior. God our Savior. You know, we oftentimes think of Jesus our Savior, right? God is the one who sent the Son to redeem us, just so you know. God is our Savior, every bit as much as Jesus is. And of Christ Jesus, our hope. What is our hope? When we're talking about that. Our hope is not a destination. Our hope is a person. Our hope is that we will be with the living God for eternity. Just kind of wrap your head around that for a little bit, and it may change some of your perspective on hope and hopelessness and things of that nature. So now we're going to get to the text that I actually was planning on doing, and I'm going to read this text from Ephesians chapter 4. Once again, I'm reading far more than what I say that the text is, but our text is found within this passage. And so this is Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Once again, skipping down to verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Well, Father, I pray again today that you would speak to us through your word, that you would renew hope within us, and that you would help us to be truly a hope filled people. So Lord, I just ask that you would guide and direct this time to your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So as we come to this topic, one of the things that I want to back up and do is this passage of Scripture, this one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and through all. This passage is in the middle of a letter, and I haven't really been telling you how this passage functions as I ought within the letter. Okay? One of the things that you need to kind of understand is that this letter was written to a group of people that had a very potentially divisive conflict among them. Okay? You had a group of people who were struggling trying to figure out how to put two very different things together. The whole idea that the Jews were the children of God, they were the anointed, they were the called, they were the special, they were the holy. The Jews, the nation of Israel, were God's children. And recently, through the coming of Jesus Christ into their midst, their worldview got exploded. It got blown completely wide open so that Gentiles were now a part of the family of God. Those heathen pagan Gentiles that we used to have absolutely nothing to do with, that we wouldn't associate with, that we couldn't eat dinner with, that we wouldn't even acknowledge on the street if we could avoid it, those people are now a part of my family. It is not for nothing that in this letter, Paul talks about the dividing wall of hostility that has been torn down. Okay, so let me ask just this question for us today. Do we have any dividing walls of hostility in our country today, Peg? Yeah. Why is there hatred toward any group of people? But there is. There are dividing walls of hostility, right? Hassan, you work with Nonviolence Legacy. Are there any dividing walls of hostilities on the campuses at Amphi? Many, right? You see, one of the things is, whenever someone's different, it causes problems. We tend to like people that look like us, that think like us, that act like us, right? I mean, that's the tendency. Why should there indeed, Bethany? Why should there? That's the point. Every time it says in here the word one, there is one body. There is one spirit. There is one hope. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one God and Father who is over all and works in all and through all. It's reminding us that all these artificial barriers of hostility and division that we allow to rise up are not of God. Because in God, everything is one. Okay? If we are in Christ, we have been born into that one family. And the dividing walls go away. Dave Drum, who works with Fort Tucson and is responsible for trying to bring the city of Tucson together, will tell you all kinds of stories about how difficult it is to get us children of God coming together to do the work of God. Because we don't like the way they do things. You know, we don't agree with them on every detail. In Christ, there's only one God. There's only one faith. There's only one hope. Okay? So it has to do with these dividing walls. And one of the things that Dave Drum is talking about, you know, if there is any hope for our political situation, you do know that we are divided as a country politically, right? You do know that we have Democrats who absolutely loathe Republicans, and we have Republicans who absolutely loathe the Democrats. And there is a dividing wall of hostility called politics. Okay? That's a reality. And guess what? I know this is going to blow your mind. But we have brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus who are Republicans and Democrats. Or should I say it the other way around? We have brothers and sisters in Christ who are both Democrats and Republicans. You know, there's probably even a few liberals, and there might even be some Green Party folks. And we need to somehow figure out how to get past all of these dividing walls to be one, to do everything in our power to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And I'm just going to tell you that the key here is love. Okay? The key here is love, that we would love others and that we would give them the honor and the grace that God wants us to give them. Love them as you would have them to love you. Treat them as you would have them to treat you. Now, all of that, all of this tension, all of this division has created a culture and a climate in America of despair, hopelessness, futility. I just want you to know despair is the complete loss or absence of hope. Despair is the complete loss or absence of hope. Because despair is thinking that you know the end and that the end is futile. That you know what's going to happen and it's going to be disastrous. And there is, therefore, no hope. There's no point of redemption. There's no ability for recovery. There's no chance of wholeness or restoration. No possibility of joy and of peace. And we live in a country of despair right now. Do you know that? Have you seen that? Can I get a witness or an amen or a testimony about that? See, here's the thing. Here are some headlines. These are all headlines from this year. Different places. U.S. suicide rate surges to a 30-year high. That's despair. That is hopelessness. I can't go on. There is no hope, no reason to live. Another one, young white America is haunted by a crisis of despair. Now, I'm just giving you the headlines. I was reading these articles, and I was getting discouraged. You know, I was spiraling down. By the way, I would encourage you to sort of begin to tune out media just a little bit and tune into God a lot more. This is from USA Today. Epidemic of deaths by despair. Epidemic of deaths by despair. Here's another headline. Enough of Russia. There's an epidemic of despair in the U.S. These are all different magazines and newspapers and media outlets. And then the last one I'll give you, I could have made a list as long as my arm. Addressing the emerging epidemic of despair. Despair. Hopelessness. A sense of utter and absolute futility. And that's the culture we live in. So at General Assembly, Dr. Jerry Porter, gave a message on hope. And here was his catch line. So, got hope? Do you guys have hope? Do you have hope? Or are you spiraling in despair? Now, it's possible to be a Christian and spiral in despair, but it's only because you've lost sight of what you're supposed to keep your eyes on. Here's the thing. Got hope? Share it. That's what Dr. Porter said. He spent about 50 minutes telling us, you got hope? Share it. Give it away. Because we live in a society that is hopeless. They need hope. And where does hope come from? Hope comes from the Lord. Hope comes from God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And all that is. Hope comes, therefore, from the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the bearer of the image of the one true living God. We are the bearers of the hope of our nation. Got hope? Share it. We need to be giving it away. Well, you know, the question here, we're all in the same set of circumstances, more or less. We all live in the same United States of America. We all have certain struggles and things that we bear in common. The difference between despair and hope is what you cultivate in terms of what you look at and what you think about and what's on your heart and mind. And we have to keep purifying our minds of despair. Of hopelessness. And how do you do that? How do you do that? By focusing by focusing on God and on faith and on what He's done for us, by focusing on the hope. Now, the reality is, let me ask you just this question, and I want you to talk back to me. What is our hope? What do we as Christians hope for? What is our hope? Peng. Christ to come again. To see Jesus? Oh, thank you, my brother. To see Jesus. And it what? God, I'm sorry, I still missed it. Okay, for the good of those who love Him. God doing something, but I keep missing that something. For the good of those who love Him. God's doing something for us. I just can't hear it. Sorry. I think I'm having problems with my blood pressure. I don't know if any of you noticed. I almost fell over. I think my blood pressure's through the roof today, and it's causing vertigo, and it also is impacting my hearing. I can't hear. I feel like I'm in a tunnel or at the bottom of a well. But this message is too important to ignore. We need hope. And hope comes from God. And hope comes from focusing on God and on what He has for you. And here's something that I am concerned about. I'm concerned that we view our hope as nothing more than something out there someday, instead of viewing our hope as something right here, right now, that changes today. I'm concerned that when we think of hope, we think more in terms of eternity and a future than we do in terms of this moment right now. And you know what? You need hope right now. You need hope that God is with you right now. You need hope that He will provide you the strength that when you are at your weakest and you cannot go one step further, He is there and He will carry you. You started.
There is an action component with hope, isn't
there? The action component of hope is holding on, persevering. In fact, one of the quotes that I had this comes from the Anchor Bible Dictionary, but it says Paul's faith, love, and hope triad, which is in throughout his letters, it says, living the commandment of love within the already not yet tension brings the Christian personal experiences called trials or tribulations. You see, when you live this love commandment of loving God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loving Him with all of your mind, soul, and spirit, with all your body, loving neighbor as yourself, in this already and not yet tension. And the already not yet tension is what? That God has saved us, but that He hasn't yet come and put all things to right. That we are in an in-between time. It brings us Christians personal experiences that are called trials and tribulations. There are difficulties that we go through. And at this point, there enters upon the scene a gift of the Holy Spirit to sustain the believer amidst adversity. That of hope. We have to cling to the fact that God is there and that He is sometimes carrying us and holding us and enabling us, which is sometimes accompanied by perseverance. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes and we receive hope, Paul talks continuously about hope and perseverance, and they almost become one. Perseverance is the clinging to and the holding on and the believing in. Perseverance is so closely allied with hope that at times hope can even be called perseverance. Clinging to Christ. That's what perseverance is. Continuing on in Christ. Believing in Christ fully. You know, you can place hope in a lot of different things. What are some of the things that you place hope in? I mean, there's only one anchor for hope, but what are some of the things? I mean, really, we say I hope often, right? You know. So what are some of the things that you place your hope in?
Relationships.
Okay, relationships. Higher income. That solves everything. I'm sorry? Closeness of family. A good relationship with your family, Winnie?
Health.
Health. Art? The Democrats and the Republicans. Oh, Lord, help us. You know, we do. Sometimes we put our hope on them, right? And we say, they're going to fix my problems. They're going to make life better for me. And, you know, different people will come down on different sides of which group is going to help, but they're placing their hope there. We can place our hope in our IRA, in our 401k. You know what those are? Those are retirement accounts. We can place our hope in our country. We can place our hope in the United States military. We can place our hope in a lot of different things. But the problem with all of those is they will let you down. Family members will fail you. Your finances may plummet. Anybody remember 2008? How many people lost a bunch of money that day, you know, that year? Finances are fickle. The stock market, who knows what's going to happen with it? Our United States government, the politicians, whether they be, I mean, a lot of people placed hope in President Obama. He ran on hope, right? I mean, wasn't that one of his things? And many people were disappointed. Now, there have been many who have placed their hope in President Trump, and they are probably going to be disappointed as well at some levels, okay? He may do some things you like, but he's not going to do everything you want. And that's, you know, our hope placed anywhere than on God will lead to despair. You put your hope on anything other than God, and it will lead to despair. Right, because one thing at a time will get knocked out. And the only thing that is permanent, the only thing that is unchanging, the only thing that you can take to the bank year after year, millennia after millennia, is God's love for you. Now, here, go ahead. Yes, I will. In fact, there's a great song, two great songs. Thy Will. Hillary Scott's Thy Will. And the words, the opening words are that is, I thought I heard your voice. I know that I was doing what you wanted me to do. And here I am in this broken place. I know I'm not quoting it right, but here I am in this broken place. Here I am in this hurting place. And then she says, but I come and I only have these four words left. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Here's the thing. For the person who comes to you and says, I have done everything that God asked me to do, and I'm in a mess, and I don't feel as though God has helped me. I don't feel as though God has been there for me. You know what they're hoping in? They're hoping in their efforts. They're hoping in their behavior. They're hoping in their works. They're not hoping in Christ alone. You see, the thing about this world, Jesus said, and this is one of the things that we, the church, haven't always done a great job of, because we say, come to Jesus and everything will be better. Oh, no, it won't. You know, come to Jesus and your life will suck. I mean, that doesn't sell, right? But what happens is when you come to Jesus, you become enemy number one of Satan. And all the powers of hell are now targeted at you to bring you down and destroy you. The good news, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The good news is if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and trust in what he has done, he will get you through. And you can have, in the midst of really, really bad circumstances, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, and gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit, in case you didn't recognize those. You can have those in the worst of circumstances and situations. You know, we can put our hope in things that don't save, that aren't meaningful. Psalm 33, 16 to 22, the king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation. And by its great might, it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. But once again, what are you hoping for? Because if your hope is that if I follow Jesus, everything will go well. If your hope is that if I follow Jesus, I'll have a nice retirement account, I'll have a nice home, all my family relations will be good, you're going to be disappointed. Because it's not, that's not what it's about.
Anyways, that night, you know, I know all this problems that we have and all that, that they're going to attack you, and a lot of things have been attacking me. But what I did was I went home at night and I said, dear Lord, take this from me. Take this from me. You take it from me. I want you to take it from me, Lord. And the next morning I woke up and
yeah. Never felt any better. Right. So giving it to God, giving it to him. What is heaven? Tell me, Sue.
It's that restoration of a relationship between a person and God.
It's a restoration of relationship between a person and God, right? Isn't that heaven, really? Because isn't heaven where God is? And so, you know, one of the things that just strikes me really odd is how often people talk about wanting to go to heaven, but they don't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ or God the Father. They don't want to have any relationship with God. They don't want to submit to Him or align their lives with Him, but they want the assurance of heaven. Because they think of heaven as eternal life to do whatever they want to do. And that's not what heaven is. It is an eternal life in the presence of the living God, in relationship with the living God, in a restored relationship with God. Hope is the presence of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or, as I read from the passage in 1 Timothy, Christ is our hope. Who is our hope? It's a relationship, and of Jesus Christ, our hope. It's a relationship. Hope is a relationship with the living God. It's being able to know that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are there with you at all times, in every circumstance, in every situation. And they will carry you through, even if carrying you through is through the portals of death. Okay, faith is our trusting in that. It's us applying that. And it births this hope in us. Hope is a product of our faith. Okay? Our faith in what God will do births hope in us. But here's what I really wanted you to come away with today, more than anything else. You have to cultivate hope. In this despairing world, I don't want you to bury your head like an ostrich in the sand and hope the world goes away. That's not what I'm trying to say right now, okay? But I am going to tell you, you need to tune out of some of the media that you guys listen to. You need to tune out of some of the despair propaganda that goes around, that our world is hopeless. And you need to start tuning into God. You need to start listening to God and paying attention to His Word and singing the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that will encourage your heart. If you find yourself listening to a news outlet and your boil begins to bubble, your blood begins to boil and bubble, turn it off. Walk away. And recenter on God, because guess what? And here's one of those things. This world is passing away. So if your hope is about anything here and now, it's a futile hope. Do you get that? If your hope is about here and now, you're focusing on the wrong things. But it is the hope that makes the here and now possible. It's the relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the close communion with Him. He is our hope. And it is Jesus and Jesus alone, that relationship with Him, that makes it possible for us to be one with all people. All different kinds of people. I am going to be going to Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is 70% Buddhist, 15% Hindu, 9% Islam. Help me. 70, 85, 94. 6% is left. 5%, no, 4.5% is Catholic. And 1.5% identifies as evangelical Christians. Can I go there and have peace and hope and joy and harmony? Yes, how and why? It's because I go with Jesus. Jesus, who is the hope of the world. Jesus, who alone is our hope And it's a relationship with Him that makes a relationship with everyone else possible. Because when we sinned, we entered into shame. And shame covers us. And shame causes us to hide, to isolate, and to compete. And it's Christ who washes away the shame and helps us to rest in His presence, to rest in God. There is so much about hope, and hope is so important. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Hope is so important for us. And in our world, people need hope. They need hope desperately. And we have it. We have a Jesus Christ who alone is hope. And we can give that hope to a hurting, broken world. And we can give the gift of that hope to ourselves as well as we rest in and rely and trust in Him alone. Hope is a person. You know, Heather was talking to me this week, and she's admitted, I think, to you all at times before that, you know, she's not excited about heaven. And doesn't really, you know, see, you know, if hope is heaven, it doesn't seem to help much. And it's through that I've come to realize once again that we need very carefully, very critically, to reclaim the reality that hope is about a relationship. My wife is the most relational person I know. But we, the church, have described heaven in a way that has alienated her from that relationship. There's something wrong. And I'm working through all this. I'm trying to wrestle with it. My blood pressure's not helping me. But what I can tell you right now is Jesus Christ is our hope. He is our future, but He's also our present. He's the peace that we have this moment. He's the capability that we have to walk, not self-consciously, but conscious of others. He's the one that enables us to love. He's the one who enables us to forgive. He and He alone is our hope. And we need that hope desperately. And whenever we lose sight of what our hope is and where our hope is, we will begin to drift into despair, into a sense of hopelessness, and we'll focus on the wrong things. I'm sorry if this is rambled and hasn't made a lot of sense and hasn't been as tied to Scripture as my notes were. But we live in a world that needs hope. And we are the source of it. But only if we will quit looking at what we want out of this world and start focusing on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's where the hope is. There and there alone. Well, Father, I feel as though perhaps I have muddled a message that You have wanted to deliver.
Sir.
And I pray that if I have, You would forgive me. I pray, Father, mostly that people would hear You and that they would connect to You and that their hope would be centered in a relationship with You, the primary relationship that we were made for, fellowship with You. And I pray, Lord, for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that once again they would walk in the garden in the cool of the day with You, and that they would not hide in the bushes, that they would come out into the open, realizing that Jesus has washed away their shame, and that they would fellowship with you in fullness, in wholeness, in completeness, so that they might have hope, and having hope, might be able to spread hope in our world. In Jesus' precious name, amen.